Hey friends, I'm Penny Joy, host of Abide, the podcast where we explore what it means to truly abide in Christ in every area of life, from faith to relationships, health, and business. Whether you're seeking deeper connection, healing, or wisdom, you're in the right place. Guess who's back? It's been a few months, but I'm back in the saddle again. As I've mentioned in previous podcasts, I don't put out episodes for the sake of putting out episodes. I have many topics in the hopper, I can assure you, but I am not some podcasting pro. This takes a lot of work and prayer for me and life and hard lessons in order for me to have something of value to share with you that I think will really help your life and, most importantly, help your relationship with God and others. As with any episode, I must tell you thank you. In 2025, I only put out 6 episodes, but you continued to share and listen every single week for the entire year. New York, New Jersey, Texas, I see you all down there. You've been blowing up this podcast in good ways, so thank you to everyone for sharing these episodes that you think will help others in their lives. It just means so much to me. My hubby, I love my hubby. He is the best. He even got me a professional podcast set up, so to avoid that fuzzy sound that I was getting in my podcast. And I have to admit, when I started this podcast, which was never on my life's radar, I didn't know if anyone would listen. But you have, and God, through you, has shown me that He wants me to continue. So, buckle up. I'm digging in my heels into the podcast world, and that's only because of you. So let's see where God takes this, because you share, you subscribe, and faithfully follow along. Today's episode is gonna be a banger. I've worked on it for a few months now, and in doing so, God has revealed so much about the inner workings of the human heart and the things that drive us to do what we do in our life and how we do it. If you have ever felt like you were on the hamster wheel of life going round and round and round and round and round, exhausted, burned out, burning the candle at both ends, and you generally feel like you're not enough and never doing enough, well, then this podcast episode is for you. I'm talking about performance, which is defined as the action or process of carrying out or accomplishing an action, task, or function. Now, there are hundreds of books on podcast-related themes, even more podcast. But today's episode is going to lift the veil and break those performance-driven strongholds over your life that are keeping you exhausted. And you know what I'm talking about. There's nothing wrong with performance, right? We learned from an early age that outstanding performance is applauded, it's rewarded, and that satisfactory performance, or those C grades we got in school, those average grades, and the unsatisfactory performance, well, they meant that you were behind. And you better prepare yourself to get grounded by your parents. Most of us were punished when we were young if we didn't make the grade. Then, when we got into the workforce, we are told to 10x our results and 75 hard our bodies. You work the long hours. Some call it a grind, but you're just a dedicated, hard worker. You are called ambitious, type A, overachiever, perfectionist. It's your normal way of living until it's not. You likely surround yourself with other A-list workers and performers because that's who you relate to. Of course, they all understand when you're unavailable because you're busy working, because they're busy too. Because this hardworking person is a badge of honor you wear. You've earned it. You've sacrificed friends and family and fun outings for your to-do list. You say, oh, I got this big project I'm working on, another deadline. Your family has heard that 1,000 times, So they stop asking you to go places and do things because they know you're going to be working anyway. I mean, someone needs to bring home the bacon, right? I've asked myself, is this wrong or am I right? I mean, I feel right. Everyone else is just lazy. I mean, I love working. I love to see results. I feel so good about myself when I get to inbox zero and I check off my projects on my Asana project board. This is life, isn't it? This, right? Or am I not seeing something? That's something hiding under the radar in my heart. That's something God is revealing about myself and yourself. You see, the performance trap feels normal. It's applauded by our American society and the elite 10%ers of the world. I liken the performance trap to a mouse that's running around on the floor all night looking for that dropped piece of cheese. And there it appears, right in the corner. The mouse takes a few sniffs. Smells like cheese. The mouse takes a little nibble. Ooh, tastes like cheese. This must be cheese. And the next thing you know, and slowly the mouse, with his mouth full of cheese, starts fading into darkness until its lights out completely. See, being in the performance trap is like going after the cheese day by day until one day you see your life, health, friendships, and close relationships fade into darkness. And that's what happened to me back in May of 2023. I won't recount all the gory details that I've shared on previous podcasts, but I was in a performance trap, and I had spent my entire life in it. And the majority of my work and professional life, it was really great. I mean, I made good money. I had promotion after promotion. I was often the first one at the office and the last one to leave. It was who I was. Sure, I'd take vacations here and there, and I'd try to have balance. But my mind never really shut off. I was always performing, and on the outside, I was successful and applauded for my work ethic and sacrifices that I made for the good of the company. And it wasn't just work. I mean, I had to perform in all areas of my life, namely at fitness and races and climbing mountains and push the body just like I had pushed my mind. Some may tell you that you're working hard, but you'll be the first one to take on work for other people just so that your plate is even more full. Because that kind of load, well, you like it. It fulfills you. It validates you. It gives you value, worth, and that feeling of safety. Sure, you might be exhausted and then working even longer to compensate for the mistakes you make because you can barely keep your eyes open. Or you drown yourself in caffeine and Red Bulls so you can keep going and going and going. Just like the hamster on the wheel. I mean, people are counting on you, right? You tell yourself that. Just a few more emails tonight. Just a few more tasks. And then I'll rest. I'll get all this done for the weekend. And then you find yourself working on the weekend. But what really happens is you're tired and wired. You stay up all night thinking of the problems you need to solve, the hard conversations you need to have, and what people will think of you if you let them down. And the cycle repeats day after day after day. And those of us in the performance trap, well, we call it life. We call it our duty. We call it being responsible and ambitious. What was really happening after hours was that I was chronically sleep deprived and on prescription drugs to manage a sleep disorder that impaired my memory. My friendships faded into the background, and I was rarely present with anyone because my mind was onto the next goal and the next enterprise. There was something inside of me that propelled me. It was like a compulsion. We can call it work addiction. But there's so much more to this. See, eventually, life caught up with me through chronic illness, chronic stomach problems, more visits to the ER than I can count, and eventually a nervous system crash that left me in a state of disassociation with episodic memory loss. My friends, I ate that last bit of cheese I found, and the trap snapped. God, in his mercy and with the love of my husband, I picked myself up off the bathroom floor and began a long healing journey of finding out who the heck I was when I was forced to face the trap that I had been in my entire life. This was more than burnout. This was an epic life crash, and while it was so painful, I finally had to face what led me to that place and what I have discovered since. And if you are resonating with any of this, stay with me. Because what I will share next is going to change your life for the better. When you open up your heart and mind and expose it to the light of God's word and his love, that is when cycles and strongholds are broken and you find freedom from the behavior and mindsets that have helped keep you captive. The productivity trap is ultimately based in deception, and we are going to uncover the lies with the truth. Before we go there, here's a word from our sponsor.
You were called to share God's grace with the world, not to be buried under frustrating admin or confusing tech problems. That's why we created the Gospel Collective. The Gospel Collective provides expert creative, operational, and digital support, allowing you to stay focused on your mission, not maintenance. Our digital missionaries bring professional strategy, systems, and execution without the overhead of hiring a full internal team. Every project directly funds global digital evangelism and discipleship efforts, working to reach every nation with the gospel by 2030. Multiply your impact. Visit getthegospel.org. That's getthegospel.org.
I want to bring to light some of the reasons, the heart reasons, and the soul reasons why we find ourselves in the performance trap, and how to get out of it and keep yourself out of it. And more importantly, what is God's view of you, what you do, and how you live? To get to the bottom of this, we need to go to the beginning, your beginning. If you were born in the 1960s to the 1980s or before, you likely had parents who were baby boomers, and their parents were known as the silent generation. These were your grandparents, born about 1928 to 1945. They were shaped by scarcity from the Great Depression. They believed in survival, sacrifice, and duty because of World War II. They had your head down, work hard mentality. Money was about security, not a lifestyle, and emotions were not openly discussed. The baby boomer parents believed that hard work meant upward mobility and achievement was paramount. I, like many of you, were raised under this umbrella of performance, learned very quickly that love and validation came from getting good grades, being good at sports, playing instruments, and working hard at your chores. And then you'd get some attention and validation that shaped your view of work and other life pursuits, whether that's athletics or something else. My parents were always working and showed my sisters and I what hard work meant. I mean, if you wanted to become someone in the world, you better work hard. My parents, while I had them lavish love on me, I felt very loved, as did my older sisters. But I was keenly aware that I got things and felt good about myself when I did good and performed well. Naturally, right? Nothing is wrong with feeling good with hard work and accomplishment until it consumes you. Later on, when my mom died when I was 12, I used performance in school and started working as a way to avoid my emotional pain. But also, I had that inner thought that maybe if I did all the good things in school and activities, maybe I would make my dad happy again. I mean, he was grieving. He lost my mom. My family fell apart. And I just thought if I was good enough, if I did enough, and maybe my family would be put back together again. I kept trying to be enough for my family so I could make them smile in the midst of their grief. And those teenage years were spent avoiding pain through various vices and avoiding my pain by busying myself with work and school. seem like the right good thing to do. What I wasn't aware of is that I had built my entire identity on my ability to produce. Again, it was that badge of honor I wore. I could outwork most everyone, and that made me feel superior. The people who went home at 5 p.m. to their families? Well, I thought they were lazy. They were not built like me. I was the ambitious one, the overachiever. But really, I was the prideful one with a superiority complex. And I didn't realize that I was carrying around resentments that were affecting my relationships with people I loved. There was a period of work in the not too recent past where I was up early and stayed late for years and years from my boss. And I knew his schedule. He was taking an afternoon nap at 2 o'clock, taking a walk and phone calls in the sunshine at 4 p.m. and having dinner with his family at 7 p.m. Why, I worked. I compared myself to him. He was living this balanced life. Well, him and others who left work at 5 p.m., well, resentment set in, and resentment grew its thorns. To those in the performance trap, we can easily grow bitter and resentful that others are not putting in the work we are, even if we are getting paid well. The reason it doesn't equate is because at the heart level, you are working to prove yourself, to make yourself feel worthy if you can just do enough. This is where the heart gets exposed. Because that kid who grew up getting the good grades and being the best at sports and trying to please everyone and get attention from mom and dad is now an adult still trying to prove that they are enough and do enough, to prove that you're good, to prove that you're worthy. And sometimes it's not for other people. It's you trying to validate you. The problem is, friends, enough is never enough for those in the performance trap. There is always more cheese to find, another level to obtain, more money to make, more things to buy. This is why it's a trap. One of the most dangerous things you can do is to chase someone else's definition of success and be good at it. See, we're told in our world to climb, to compete, and to achieve. To follow the path that looks impressive, even if it doesn't feel right. But real success has nothing to do with what it looks like from the outside, does it? It has everything with how it feels on the inside. Living a life true to yourself is success. Inner peace is success. But success in God's economy is something different. Now, you might wake up energized about the life you live, if you think it's successful. You can have the title, the income, and the praise, and still feel empty. You feel empty because you completely abandon yourself to get there. The truth is, we don't burn out from doing too much. We burn out from doing too little of the things that bring us joy and what actually matters. And what actually matters is who God says you are, his child, his beloved. See, performance and achievement is what the world says is important. But what God says is important is entering into his rest and producing fruit from the Spirit. But when the performance is based in self and in feelings of inadequacy, it leads you to a trap that takes life. Yet if you're living your purpose because you're already enough in Christ Jesus, a life lived from a place of love and service, well, that gives us life. And that right there, friend, is the difference. You see, life is not a to-do list, but our world has made it one. It's like we go through life with a bunch of boxes to check. Get married, have the family, have the house, have the career, go on vacations, buy the boat, whatever it is for you. And I realize that every culture is different. Our American culture is very materialistic. A lot of you listen in the UK and India to this podcast, and thank you for doing so. And I realize the hustle culture might look different for you, But the result is the same, and God's answer to the problem is the same for all of us. Life moves so fast that we forget it is happening right now. We chase goals and deadlines thinking that our value lies in how much we can produce or how busy we can appear. But our soul was never built for that constant pressure. It was built for music that makes us feel something, connections that make us belong, sunsets that make us stop and breathe, and just laughing. It reminds us that we're alive. Most importantly, we are meant for fellowship with our Creator and our Savior. Yet for many of us in the performance trap, we are living in performance mode with God, and that was never His will for us. This, my fellow abiders, is another layer of the performance trap that we need to shed some light on. See, for many of us, whatever our relationship was with our earthly Father, well, it can be mirrored with our Heavenly Father. When I got saved as an atheist, actually from suicide, this was now 28 years ago, I was so grateful for the life. My life was saved, but I felt like I had to pay God back. I had to be the good Christian. And I took that to mean that I had to read my Bible all the time, make sure I prayed. I attended church services every chance I got. I went into missions work. I served in the church every chance I got. And I sincerely wanted to learn about Jesus. And I sincerely wanted people to know Him. And I knew that I was saved by grace, saved by faith through grace, and not by works, as the scripture says. But I also read that faith without works is dead, and I took that to mean that I better get working for Jesus. Now, that was something I could do. I know how to work. And I love Him, so I will work for God now. That's what I told myself. But as God started to heal me in the deepest parts back in 2023, I started to see that I got caught up in more busyness, just calling it just and good so that I would see myself as a good Christian. I was back to trying to validate something that had already been validated. This time, it wasn't me trying to please or earn favor from my earthly Father. It was trying to please and earn favor from my Heavenly Father. And it was in that spirit of earning that the Lord gently corrected me through His word and reminded me of another people group in the Bible who did the same thing, the Pharisees. See, Jesus said, speaking of the religious people of His day, and this is in Matthew 15, 8-9, He said, "These people draw near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. And in vain they worship Me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." The Pharisees thought that their effort kept them in God's favor. But closeness with God doesn't depend on your behavior. You're a son or a daughter. You have closeness with God because you're part of the family of God. He doesn't ask us to pay back the debt He paid for on the cross. When He said it was finished, He meant it. He put an end to the ego-driven works that show us unconditional love. But we live in a world that is full of conditions, and it is so hard for us to comprehend that we don't have to earn God's love and favor. We think, I'll be obedient enough. I'll go to the mission field. I'll serve every Sunday in kids' church. Whatever it is. If that's in your heart, do it. But do it from a place of love and service, and not trying to prove that you're good enough to God. In Jesus' time, He was continually combating these religious mindsets that were based in works and sacrifice. He said in Matthew 9:13, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." See, Jesus was always teaching us that it's about the heart. In Matthew 22:37, He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." See, it was always about the heart. See, everything about Jesus and what he did for us on the cross is what changes us from sinners to saints, and how he positioned us and seated us in heavenly places with him. He validated us. He made us worthy. The whole act of reconciliation was to awaken us to who the Father is and who we are in him. He wanted to stop the religious performances for outward appearances, and he made it about the heart and love and service. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke in Jewish times meant my teachings. He was saying, my teachings are easy and my burden is light. Because all these religious people were all about their traditions of men and traditions of the synagogue and traditions of their day. It was all about the works and keeping them and keeping all these laws. And it was so cumbersome, and they were consumed with it. They were in the performance trap. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not my teaching. That's the world's teaching. That's the teaching of religion. That is not the teaching of entering into a relationship with your heavenly Father. He came to free us from every trap of this world, including the performance trap. In him, we are more than enough in this present world and forevermore. He finished the work, friend. He finished it. It was done. The striving is over. The feelings of never being good enough or doing enough, those are over too. You will never be in more right standing with God than you are right now if you have placed your faith and trust in the finished work of the cross. See, that cross just wasn't a message to the world. It was our transformation. It was our deliverance. It was our healing. Healing from the things that led us to the performance trap in the first place. The inadequacy. Feeling you have to earn love. Earn attention. Earn validation. In a near future podcast, I'm going to dedicate an entire episode to our identity in Christ, because everything we are and everything we do stems from that. And I think there's some deep truths that are not always talked about. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. I really believe that we are going through a shift in the world, one that's going to change the very fabric of our society and humanity as we know it. See, God is breaking through all the old paradigms that have imprisoned us. And he's teaching us what it means to truly be and what it means to do from that state of being. The kind of being that lives from love and service, not from striving and constant seeking to validate that you're good enough, rich enough, smart enough, wanted enough. See, those are all core wounds that need healing, and God is bringing them to the surface, because we might be justifying something that we think is good and admirable, but it's just the devil's ploy to keep us busy and distracted from the real work God wants to do in us and through us. If you've been stuck in this rut, it's time to uproot the strongholds of performance. This is the time. This is the season. God is setting us free. He provided the way, but this requires an awakening. An awakening to who you really are and who God really is. There's just so much beauty in the moments that we overlook. Like when I walk into the kitchen in the morning and my husband just gives me a hug and says, "I love you." That sound of laughter when you're winning at the Monopoly game. The way the sky paints a new masterpiece every evening without asking for applause. These are not distractions in life, friends. They are life. So slow down and be present. If you've been in the performance trap like me, you look back and maybe you don't even remember most of your life because you were so busy to notice. Enjoy the gift that exists in the simplest of seconds. See, your worth does not increase because you are exhausted. You do not have to prove anything to deserve the joy that God has for you. You deserve to simply rest because you are human, because you are God's child. And you deserve love simply because you exist. Let yourself live. Not for the next task or next achievement, but for the moments that make your heart feel full. The world keeps spinning even if you stop for a moment. And sometimes that moment is what makes you whole. When you're allowed to breathe and you're allowed to feel and you're allowed to be more than your productivity. You are not a machine. You're a soul that needs music and connection and sunsets and laughter and small pockets of joy all throughout your day. Prioritize them like your life depends on it, because it does. Life isn't meant to be the cycle of stress and survival. So pause for a second and look up. Let the sunset remind you you're here to live, not just hustle. Life is not your to-do list. It's a gift. Walk slower, hug longer, laugh louder, love deeper. The clock is ticking, but your presence is timeless. See, we've been conditioned to believe that constant productivity equals worth, but humans were never designed for this endless output. We need these moments of wonder and connection and rest, not as rewards for hard work, but as essential ingredients for a meaningful life. If you get anything out of this today, know that the gospel starts with you are loved, not do better, be more, or be better. Friends, this is my prayer for you, that you leave the cheese behind to escape the trap that has held you tightly in its grip for far too long, for you to know who you are and whose you are and to find rest for your soul. I want you to go outside and feel the sun on your skin and know that the light is piercing through all the darkness and deception you have carried. The lies that you were not enough or not doing enough. And exchange those lies for the truth. And the truth is, it is finished. If today's episode has spoken to your heart, I invite you to share this with others. You can follow along on Instagram at Abide for Life or connect with me at abideforlife.com.